Mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is, as I said before, from that gospel lesson and a little bit from the Old Testament reading as well. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is this how you answer the high priest?" Dear friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, you need a God you can punch. You really do. Now, you might not think that you do. You probably think maybe you're a little bit more pious than that. I would never punch God. Maybe what you think you need is a God who can hold your hand as he walks with you and talks with you and tells you that you're his own. Maybe you think you need a God who will walk along the beach with you, and when you get tired, will lift you up on his shoulders so that you can look back and see just the one line of footprints in the sand. Maybe you need a God kind of like the statues that you see here every once in a while of Jesus playing soccer with the kids or towering over the little kids playing basketball. But you don't. That's not the kind of God you need. You need a God whose lip you can fatten with a well-placed right cross. And this is really the human predicament. Ever since Adam's rebellion in the garden, ever since he ran away and hid himself away at the sound of God walking in the garden, mankind has been alienated, separated from God. Nothing had changed in God, of course. I mean, but everything had changed in man, in mankind. Adam and Eve had sought to be their own gods. And in doing that, they had turned away from their Creator and the very source of their lives. You see, only a dying Adam would run away from a perfectly good Creator. Since then, of course, rebellion has been our plight. That's what we've dealt with. Enmity with a holy God is basically all that we as sinners have, because sinners hate God. God's holy, and you're not, and I'm not. We are not holy. God's law is offensive to anybody who thinks that they have a do-it-yourself divinity scheme going on. And God calls his people to be holy just as he is holy. Even Jesus demanded perfect righteousness, just as the Heavenly Father is righteous. So no matter what you score on the righteousness self-assessment you might have every morning, you and I are simply not all that great. You and I are simply not that good. Because the law is absolute. It's absolute. The commandments allow no room for deviation, not even for a moment, not from even the very smallest part of the law. So Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. They were alienated from God. They were all on their own. So it's really little wonder that people prefer a God of their own creation, a Jesus after their own imagination. They prefer that to the God, the holy God of Scripture, the God who demands that our holiness perfectly matches his. You see, a good teacher Jesus, or a life coach Jesus, or a model CEO Jesus, or a moral example Jesus, a nice guy Jesus, or even a guru Jesus, well, those Jesuses aren't really all that offensive to our sinful human nature. And he wouldn't have gotten struck, and a Jesus like that, he would never have gotten struck in the face, verbally and physically bludgeoned. He never would have been nailed to a cross and killed. But see, that God can't save you. Those kinds of gods, those kinds of Jesuses can't save you. Because he's fake. He's a fake Jesus. Adam doesn't need a God who encourages him to do better next time. He really doesn't. Adam doesn't need a mulligan. Let me do a do-over. He's eaten, he's rebelled, and he's now wholly and totally separated from God, from a holy God. He needs a God who can plead his case, who will actually take up his cause, who will bear his flesh and do in Adam's place what Adam had failed to do. He needs a holy God who will impart his holiness as a gift, who will give his holiness as a gift. He needs a God with human flesh who keeps the law perfectly. So basically, he needs a God with a face that he can punch, to put it bluntly. You see, unless he can bear our hatred, this God can't save you. Unless he can receive our blows, this God can't bear our sins. So behold the man. God has become man. And Jesus, well, Jesus is a God you can punch. He's drawn near, not in wrath, not in anger. He's drawn near to us in mercy. Behold the man who came to seek out lost humanity. In Jesus, God walks in the midst of his creation once again. He walks among us. And he desires to draw all men to himself. Draw them out of their fearful hiding, out of their sin, out of their shame. Behold the man. Behold, God is man in Jesus. And so now, the words of God in the Garden of Eden, "Where are you, Adam?" become different words. "Why did you strike me?" Asked about his teaching, Jesus actually says, "Hey, I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret." So Annas commands one of the officers to strike him in the face. Strike him in the face. "Behold, this is your God. Behold the man Jesus. Behold, God has a face that can be struck. Behold, God has a back that can be scourged. And behold, God has hands that can be bound and eventually nailed to a cross. Hands that can be bound right now so that he can be sent to Caiaphas." And this is good. This is good. Behold the man who comes to actually allow himself to be struck by the very sinners that he wants to redeem. Behold the man, the God that you can punch, who can bear all of our striking, all of our smiting, our scourging, our hatred. Behold the servant who will suffer in your place and mine. Behold the one who indeed was despised and rejected by men, whom no one esteemed. Behold, this one who was struck in the face has actually borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Behold, the man who in our place is stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Behold him pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Behold the man upon whom is the chastisement, the punishment that has brought you and me peace. Behold the wounds by which we are healed. You see, in his flesh, Jesus bears all, not a little, not a few, not just some. He bears all of mankind's sinful, rebellious hatred for God. He bears it all. He receives the blows that you and I probably would have lined up to give to him. And all this he gladly suffers for you and for me and for everybody. And his holiness, his righteousness, it's all a gift that he gives to you and me. Not to those who deserve it, but actually to those who least deserve it. He's borne all of mankind's hatred of God, and worse, he's borne the Father's punishment for man's rebellion. And he's answered them, he's answered for them with his life. He answered for them with his face, with his cheek that bore striking in this kangaroo court. So the solution to our hatred of God, to our desire to punch him in the face, well, it's not to clench our fists, to bite our tongue, and to abstain. No. The solution to this is very simple. Confess. Repent. Believe. To confess, to speak in unison with the law what we know to be true. The fact that our flesh is sinful. Sinful human nature. It doesn't desire God. And then, even though you or I would have raised a hand against him, Jesus actually sends his officials, his pastors, his men, with his word of absolution. And when you confess your sin, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and compassionate. And then the pastor raises his hands, not to strike, but to soothe. He places his hand on your head and pronounces the verdict of this holy God in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus turns the other cheek. God turns away from anger and wrath, and he turns to mercy. Behold the man who would rather endure shameful abuse at the hands of the sinners than allow the sinners to have to answer for their own sins. Because it's in this man, behold the man, that we are made holy, that we are made whole, that we are made into a new creation. In his name, behold the man. Amen.